This shir is dedicated to Yilui Nishmos of Isha HaChashuva Rocha Leah Bas Chaim Osha HaKoyen, the mother of our dear friend Chaim Orlinsky. Many of you know him as Henry Orlinsky. To me, he is Chaim, my dear friend. His mother passed away this week. I was extremely privileged and moved to participate in her levaya 15 minutes before Knesset Shabbos Kodesh in Yerushalayim. And in the very short hesped I gave, I quoted the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel, Misha Mason Venikbar Be'erev Shabbos Simen Yofeh Hiloi. And I told the family that they're in a rush because their mother of blessed memory is in a rush. She's in a rush to spend the Shabbos together with her unforgettable husband in Gan Eden. So the Orlinsky family is still in the middle of the Shiva. The mother should be a Melitz Yosher. She was one of the most special people I have known. Totally devoted and dedicated to her family, to her husband, and Baruch Hashem, she was Zaycha to establish a Doir Yeshorim Bonim and Bnei Bonim Oiskim B'Teiro VeBemitzvahs. She should be a Melitz Yosha for the entire family. Benachomis Tzion Yenuchamu, and we should always hear beside his Tavis. This year is also dedicated to the Ili Nishoma of Chaim Yesocha Ben Yechiel Zeidel Dav. And he should be a Melitz Yosha for his family. The topic we will be discussing today is a very interesting one. Tzar Balachayim Diurais. That's a Gemara Bov Metzia Lamed Beis, Shabbos Kuf Chofches, Shabbos Kuf Nun Dalet, and many other sources in Shas. But nowhere do Chazal indicate from where did Chazal learn this principle. How do we know that Tzar Balachayim is Diurais? Well, in Minchas Osher Devarim Siman Nun Aleph, I wrote a lengthy essay about a concept which I define as Rotzon HaTorah. And the basic principle is, besides Tarayag Mitzvah Shebetorah, every Jew is obliged to do Rotzon Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his will, his wish, in many different ways in the Torah. Sometimes we learn the Musar of the Torah from Mitzvot Aseh, sometimes we learn from Lotas, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys his message in Psukei Torah that are not mitzvahs at all, but rather Sipur Devarim Shebetorah. In any event, Rotzon HaTorah is obligating. So Tzar Balachayim Diuraisa. Nowhere do Chazal say how do we know Tzar Balachayim Diuraisa. But in Shuvah Saradbas Siman Aleph Tov Kuf Mem Beis, the Radbas says, even though Chazal teaches Tzar Balachayim Diuraisa, it's neither a Mitzvah Saseh nor a Lo Isesa, and we are perplexed. So how could it be Minatayr if it's neither an Esa or a Lo Isesa? The answer is Rotzon HaTorah. So, at the beginning of today's shiur, we will go through 13 different sources, possible sources, Tzar Balachayim Diuraisa. Source number one is in this week's parsha. An angel from above, Malach Min HaShemayim, reprimands Bilam, and he says, Al Mohe Kisu Asasayin Chuzeh Sholoi Shregolem, why did you hit your mule three times? So the Rambam in Moy Nevuchim Chele Gimel Perek Yud Zayin says, it is from here that Chazal know Tzar Balachayim Diuraisa. Because if a Kodesh Baruch Hu sends an angel from the heavens to Bilam to demand and reprimand, why did you hit your mule? Obviously, Kodesh Baruch Hu cares about the pain of the mule. Tzar Balachayim Diuraisa. And the same we find in Sefer Chasidim Tov Reish Samech Vav. Gdol Chachmei Svarad, Gdol Chasidei Ashkenaz, both say the same. This is the source of Tzar Balachayim Diuraisa. Source number two, Rashi Shabbos Kuf Chof Chesam Et Beis. Ozer V'taz of Imoi, by Prik. When you see an animal of another person that's carrying a heavy burden on its shoulders, you should help. Help that other person take the masa off the animal's back. It is from this mitzvah that Chazal and Sabel Chaim the Uraisu. Shita Bekaveitzis Ova Mitzia Lamed Beis quotes the Radbaz, and the same we find in the Meiri. Lo Tachsom Shor B'Dishoy, that is the source of Sabel Chaim the Uraisu. So according to Rashi, we learn it from a mitzvah sase, according to the Ravid, from a lotas, and according to the Rambam, from Sipur Devorim. Sefer Achinuch Reish Tzadik Daled explains the essence of this mitzvah. It is because the tzar, the excessive tzar, the unbearable suffering of an animal, seeing the death of its offspring, so this mitzvah is because of the tzar of an animal, and the same principle we find in Tosfos Megillah Chofei Yomid Beis in the name of the great Kalir, Rabbi Elozar HaKalir. The Chinuch, once again, similar vein, Tov Kuf Nun, explaining the mitzvah, Lo Tachrosh B'Shor V'Chamor Yachdav. Why? Because it is painful to the animals when two different animals pull the wagon together, work together. Sefer HaChinuch falls short of explaining why would that be painful or suffering to the animal. However, in Dvorim Chav Beis Yud, we find two different interpretations. The Eben Ezra writes, because the shor is more powerful than the chamor. Obviously, an ox has more strength, more muscles than a donkey or a mule, and therefore the donkey, the mule, seems to be annoyed and aggravated, and I say he's really a chamor, because if he wouldn't be a chamor, he should be happy that the shor is bearing most of the brunt. Okay, so what could you expect from a mule? So anyway, Eben Ezra writes, that's why it is suffering to the mule. The Balaturim writes, because the shor is malagero, chewing his cud all the time, and the chamor isn't malagero, so he wonders, how come that guy is eating all the time? I mean, who's feeding him? I have nothing, and he's chewing all the time. And therefore, it is painful to the chamor. So, according to both interpretations, it is because of the concept of Tzar Bal Chaim that the Torah prohibits Lo Tachrosh B'Shor V'Chamor Yachdav. Well, there's another approach. Once again, Mr. Sasei, Shiluach HaKen, Shalach T'Shalach Esuayim. Vesabonim Tikach Loch, and the Rambam, once again, in the third Chelek of Moin Avuchim, Perik Mem Ches, also say, Fachinach Tov Kuf Mem Hei, both say, Shiluach HaKen is because of Tzar Bal Chaim. At other opportunities, we dealt with the big question. Well, the Mishnah says in Brochas Lamed Gimel, if you say in your Tfilis, Al Ken Tzapi Yagi Rechmecho Mishat Kanoisem, Ibnei Shoisem Midoisev Shol HaKodesh Baruch Hu Rachamim Ve'inam Ela Gzeirot. But nevertheless, this is what the Rambam and Sefer HaChinuch say. Today, we're dealing a great deal with the Torah of the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Tov Nun Aleph and Tov Nun Beis. Tov Nun Aleph is the mitzvah of Shechita. Tov Nun Beis is the Isser of Eivim and Achai, and according to the interpretation of Sefer HaChinuch, both are based on the same principle. We have to minimize the pain and suffering of animals. So Shechita, according to Sefer HaChinuch, is the most humane way of taking the life of an animal. That is minimizing the pain and suffering of the animal, and therefore the Torah is Machayev Shechita, no other method of killing the animal. Eivim and Achai, as we all could imagine, is terrible suffering, cutting off a limb of a living creature. So the Sefer HaChinuch's interpretation of both these mitzvahs is Tzar Bal Chaim. We find the same idea in the Ramban, Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Posek Chof Tes. The Ramban explains that until the time of Noach, man wasn't entitled to eat the flesh of animals, or fish, or birds. It is only in the time of Noach, when the entire world deserved to be destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared the animals only because of the tzidkas of Noach, and therefore Noach was entitled to eat the flesh of animals. However, the Ramban points out, even for Noach, Eivim and Achai is a prohibition because that is excessive pain and suffering. And the Ramban writes, Bekitzor, Ze inyan ha-shchita, ve inyan tzar bal chayim diuraisa. So we quoted, up to this point, 8 different sources. All these sources are Terosin Shel HaRishonim, 8 different sources, possible sources, to the principle of Tzar Bal Chayim D'Oraisa. Source number 9 is different, and that is the opinion of the Ritva and Rabbeinu Peretz, Bob Metzia Lamed Beis, arguing that Tzar Bal Chayim D'Oraisa is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. According to this opinion, it is not Rotzen HaTorah that we learn from Psukim, from Essen, from Lo Ta'asen, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Source number 10 starts the series of Achroinim. Sefer HaRedim, Perek Yud Aleph writes, we have to try to emulate the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zekele v'aveu havei domelo, mahu rachu mafatahu rachu, mahu chanun afatah chanun. Similar concept we find, Soiti Yud Aleph, Achrei Hashem Elokechem Telechun, v'holachtu bidrochov. So the Sefer HaRedim explains, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy upon all creatures in the world, we have to be the same. V'chsam Sefer in the Hagos, Shas, Bo Metzia Lamed Beis writes, Tzar Bal Chayim D'Oraisa, because the Pesuk says, V'rachamav al kol ma'asav. And that is strange. V'rachamav al kol ma'asav is an Ashrei, Tehillel L'David. That's only Divrei Kabbalah Lavke, Divrei Torah Damien, and Chazal say D'Oraisa. And therefore, my opinion is that the Charedim and the V'chsam Sefer are not two different reasonings, not two different approaches, but two sides of the same coin. We have to emulate the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but how would we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was merciful upon animals, different creatures? Only because in Tehillim the Pesuk says V'rachmav al kol ma'asav. So because the Pesuk says V'rachmav al kol ma'asav, we know that that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does and feels, and we should do and feel the same because of V'holachto bidrochav. Rabbi Yankov Emden, Shilas Yavetz, Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin writes, based on the Gemara Brochas Daf Mem, that a person has to feed his animals before he eats his own meal, maybe this would be the source of Tzar Bal Chayim D'Oraisa. Number 13, the last, Achron Achron Choviv, Yoim Truom, Maram Ben Chaviv, Rosh Hashanah Chov Zayin. Last week we learned in the Pasuk, Ve'yishkisu Eso Eido Ve'ed Bi'iram. Kodesh Baruch Hu performs a miracle. The rock gives water not only to salvage the people, but also to save the animals. Maybe this would be the source. Tzar Bal Chayim D'Oraisa. Would Bnei Noach be included in the concept of Tzar Bal Chayim D'Oraisa? The Eishel Avraham on one hand, the Prima Godim on the other hand. Eishel Avraham, Shin Hei, Prima Godim, Tov Sameches, both maintain only Bnei Esor HaMechuyim and Tzar Bal Chayim, not Bnei Noach. But I would assume that this depends on the various different sources. So according to most Rishonim, regardless whether we learn Tzar Bal Chayim from Prika, Oisaves Manoi Loi Teshchato, Loi Tachos B'Shov V'Chom Yechachdov, again, all these mitzvahs. However, according to the Rambam and Sefer Chassidim, if we learn Tzar Bal Chayim D'Oraisa from Bilam, obviously, Mr. Oilam Bnei Noach are included. V'chein L'das HaRamban, because of the Ramban says, Eivim Menachai is the source of Tzar Bal Chayim D'Oraisa. Eva Menachai is a prohibition to Bnei Noach as well as one of their Sheva Mitzvahs, and therefore, according to these Rishonim, it would be fair to assume that even Bnei Noach are Mechuyim in Tzar Bal Chayim. One of the most basic halachas in the Sugya of Tzar Bal Chayim is the Ramo and Evan Awez of Simon Hay, Sif Yud Dalet, quoting the Trumas Adesh and Psokim Simon Kuf Hay. Whatever is to the benefit of people, of mankind, overrides the Yisr of Tzar Bal Chayim, there would be no Yisr of Tzar Bal Chayim. This principle seems to be so basic, so essential. We see it from many parshiyos in the Torah. Well, Avraham Avinu's Cadillac was a mule, and Rivka's Mercedes was a camel. That's the best they had. What could you do? So the Oves HaKdoshim rode animals. The Torah says, Lo tachros b'shov v'chomo yachdov. Obviously, you are entitled to use either a shor or a chamor. If they would have their way, they would very much prefer just being out in the field and not schlepping and not working. But that is the privilege of man, the centerpiece of creation. And obviously, whatever man needs, he is entitled to take, and it overrides Tzav Elohim, and that's why we are entitled to shecht animals and eat their flesh. So then I'm all quotes to Tumas Hadeshen. Whatever is the Tzorech HaOdam, Ein Bo Tzav Elohim. However, the Tumas Hadeshen was asked, are we entitled to cut off the tails of dogs or clip their ears to make them nicer? You know, in America and other places in the world, we have beauty contests for dogs. What an outrageous and ridiculous idea. Why would we decide what is nice for dogs? They don't decide who is a nice person. Why should we decide who's a nice dog? But nevertheless, that was the question presented to the Tumas HaDeshen. Are we allowed to cut the tongue of a parrot? He should talk. Never occurred to me that you need to cut the tongue in order for a parrot should be able to talk. So the Tumas HaDeshen writes, whatever is letzorech adam, there is no isef tzav alachaim. However, the minig is not to do so because it's midas achzorius. And there's a machlokes in achroinim. How do we interpret the Tumas HaDeshen? Is it only a minig? A minig that has no basis, carries no weight? Or is it really midas chasidus to abstain from causing excessive pain to an animal for silly needs, ridiculous needs? The Binyan Tzion, Baal Orach Laner, Chelek HaRishon Simen Kufche, says his understanding of the Tumas HaDeshen is whatever is not a real essential, important need, then it would be prohibited mitzad tzar b'lachayim. And I want to strengthen this opinion from the Rambam. The Rambam, we started off this year with Moyen Avuchim Chele Gimel Semen Yud Zayin. The Rambam writes, Tzar b'lachayim d'uraisa, but nevertheless, we are allowed to slaughter animals for food. The Rambam says, for food, yes, but not for schoik, not for entertainment. And this Rambam seems to make very clear, you cannot cause pain to animals for entertainment. So, I was never in a circus, but I know that in circuses sometimes they have dancing bears. It's unbelievable cruelty till you teach a bear to dance. Bears weren't meant to dance. You know, the body that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a bear is not really fitting to be a ballerina. So bears weren't meant to dance, but crazy people torture animals because they want entertainment. That was the Romans did in the Colosseum. Destroying animals, killing them just to make people excited. Or the crazy bullfights in Spain, causing torture, suffering, and pain to animals for entertainment. So the Rambam makes it very clear that that would be a prohibition. The Torah allowed us, we have the entitlement to slaughter animals for food, but not for entertainment. And the Tumas HaDeshen seems to indicate that it definitely isn't a midas chasidus causing excessive pain to animals for needs that really are trivial, bear no importance or significance. And I think that is the proper approach. So not long ago, a group of people came to see me and they asked me to sign on a ban for Steinmilch, banning Steinmilch, because obviously the Steinmilch are made, I don't know what it's the tail of a fox or a fisher or a marten or whatever it is, a certain rodent, an animal. And so would that be a question of Tzar Balachayim? Well, as you could imagine, I didn't sign that Isser. As things are, people complain I'm not enough of a chosid. So that is really what I need, giving out an Isser on Shlaimels. So I definitely didn't sign that Isser. But, well, I told the people, first show me a synthetic Shlaimel and maybe I will reconsider my opinion. So for the time being, we continue wearing Shlaimels. But as I explained, there definitely are very, very significant sources, the Rambam and Moed Nevuchim and the Tumas Edeshen, obviously indicating that we should not torture and cause great suffering to animals for trivial needs that bear no real importance. The Shvus Yankev was asked, Chele Gimel, Shas Chuvus Shvus Yankev, Simen Ayin Aleph, are we allowed to do medical tests on animals when we develop medicines or new methods of treatment to treat human beings? This is common practice today, and it is interesting that this question was forwarded to the Shvus Yankev more than 300 years ago. So obviously in that time, people already used animals as guinea pigs and, you know, to test for trial and examination either of surgical procedures or of the developing medicines. And the Shvus Yankev, as you can imagine, says that is permissible, because is there any greater need than Hatzalas Nefoshes, than Pikuach Nefesh? So the Shvus Yankev makes clear his opinion that that is okay. On the other hand, the Noi de Bihuda was asked, Tinyona, Yoredei Semenyud, are we allowed to hunt animals? You know, in Europe, that was very, a very common pastime. The kings and the princes and the noblemen had their hounds, you know, hounding foxes, killing birds and other animals. Today there is more awareness to Tzar Balachayim, but once it was broadly accepted. You know, Theodore Roosevelt, an American president, had this big expedition to Africa, and he was a few months in Africa, and he was so proud that he killed a million rhinoceroses and elephants and lions. Today that would be totally despicable, but those were different times. So the Noi de Bihuda was asked 200 years ago whether it is permissible just hunting animals for the fun of it. And the Noi de Bihuda writes, well, it's not an Isser, because anything that is L'tzorech HaOdem is Datza B'Lachayim. But he does write that we know only of two great hunters in the Tanakh. One was Esav and the other was Nimrod. Both not really role models for our children. So the Noi de Bihuda writes that he thinks that Jews should have more pleasant pastimes than killing animals for fun. According to my opinion, it is an outright prohibition, at least according to the Rambam Shit in Moed Nevuchim, when the Rambam writes, Shita for food, yes, but not for schoik. Schoik is fun. Schoik is recreation. So hunting and killing animals just for the fun of it, according to the Rambam, would definitely be a prohibition. So as we see, even though Tzorech HaOdem is Matet Tzar B'Lachayim, but we always should consider how great the pain and how significant the benefit. Causing terrible pain to animals for things we could really get along with without, definitely is at least a Midas Chassidus and maybe an outright prohibition. On the other hand, the great Gaon of Butchoch, Eze Mekoidish, Ebenezer Simen Hay, and once again in Das Kadosh Yimir Deh Simen Chof Daled, he was asked whether you could pluck out the feathers of a turkey's wings. Why would you want to do so, as long as the turkey is alive? So the great Gaon of Butchoch writes that the women think that the turkey will be fatter if doesn't have feathers in its wings. So he writes, I don't really believe that. I think it's narishkeiten. I think it's nonsense. But nevertheless, even anything that people might think is beneficial overrides Tzav HaLachaim. So he writes, in my home, I asked the woman not to do that. But according to halachic definition, he writes that that would be permissible. So the opinion of the Das Kedoshim is any tzorech for a man, even if it's trivial, even if it's a suffix, overrides Tzav HaLachaim. But to me, this halacha is not poshut at all. An interesting comment that I would suggest in Bov Metzia Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara says, how should one act if there are two animals before him? I have lifroik soina litoin. Ozef Tasavim refers to prika and teina. By prika, Tzav HaLachaim is involved, by teina not. So generally, if you have two animals, two neighbors, one is putting things on the back of an animal, the other got home and he wants to take the stuff off the animal's back, prika comes before teina, because prika is the mitzvah of minyas Tzav HaLachaim. However, if the animal lifrik is a good friend and the animal litoin is a foe, then you should first take care of your foe's animal. So this is an interesting precedent that even a tzorech ruchni, melchemes hayetzah, is considered tzorech ha'odem and it overrides Tzav HaLachaim. So even though prika comes before teina, because prika is Tzav HaLachaim, however, ki heiched halacha of Yitzrei, he should put teina before prika, which is an interesting raya that tzorech ruchni of avodas Hashem, melchemes hayetzah, is at least as significant as other tzorechim, and it will override the concept of Tzav HaLachaim. One of the questions I was asked not long ago by one of the Choshev Edayonim in Johannesburg in South Africa, well, probably in Williamsburg or in Bnei Brak or in Geula, we don't have many of these shaitas, but in the big world, many interesting shaitas. So people that have animals, cats or dogs, pets in their house, and an animal is ill, is there a chiyuv or a mitzvah to go to the vet and take care of the animal, or you could just let it suffer and wither away and die? Do people have a mitzvah to take care of the medical issues of the animals in their possession? In other words, is the issue of Tzav HaLachaim only if we cause outright pain to the animal, the kum vasei, or are we always obligated to ease their pain, even though we aren't the ones to hurt the animals? Do we have to initiate the kum vasei and take care of these animals to ease their pain and suffering? The Minchas Chinuch deals with this question in Mitzvah Pei, and he says it depends whether Tzav HaLachaim d'oraisa d'rabbanan, but I don't think it depends. I think there are many sources in which we see quite clearly that Tzav HaLachaim means not only that you are not allowed to hurt an animal and cause its suffering, you also have to initiate to ease its pain. Shabbos Kuf Chof Chesom at the base, Behemesh and Afla Labor, and Chazal were Matyo, Bittel Kele Mechonoi, you're allowed to put, you know, pillows and cushions into that bor to make the animal more comfortable, and Chazal were Matyo, and Issa Darabonon, Meshum Tzav HaLachaim. And it is from this Gemara that the Poskim learn, if a female animal, has too much milk and it is in suffering, then you could milk that animal al yedei goy hitiru amira lenochli mishum Tzav HaLachaim. So in both these sources we see that we initiate, that we have to in an active way ease the pain and suffering of animals. We find a similar halacha in Moed Kot Niyudum et Beis brought in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Vov and Hilchas Chol HaMoed, hetiru hakazat dam, bloodletting from an animal that is in pain, and the one matter this malocha and chalamayid. So from all these sources we see that if tzav alachayim diuraisa, and maybe even if tzav alachayim derabbanon, it is not only that we are prohibited of causing pain to animals, of inflicting suffering, we also are expected to go out of our way and initiate easing the pain and suffering of animals. The Eshel Avrom, which I quoted before, asks, well, in the Novi Yaina, we learn that Anshe Ninvah, when they became aware of the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they called for a tzoim, a fast of 3 days. And the Pasuk says that even the animals weren't given any food or water for 3 days. How about Tzav HaLachayim, asks the Eshel Avrom. And, well, I don't really know who the Rav of Nineveh was. You know, I didn't found it and haven't found his tshuvas anywhere. Obviously, he wasn't Jewish, so I don't know whether we could learn halachas from Nineveh. But on the other hand, why do people fast? To be ma'ir rachamei shemayim. And if having the animals fast is ma'ir rachamei shemayim, that definitely is permissible, and that overrides the isra of tzav alachai. Let us not forget, the Gemara says, lama nikro nozi choytem epnei shetzir atzmai min hayayin. But nevertheless, we are to fast la'orei rachamei shemayim, and therefore, I don't think it would be a problem if indeed having animals suffer is part of the gzeres tzayim la'orei rachamei shemayim. Let us just mention the Gemara Bava Metzia Pehei, when the Gemara tells the story of Rabbeinu HaKadosh that suffered many years. Why? Because once an animal was being taken to Shechita, and that animal ran over to Rebbe, put his head into his lap, as if pleading and begging Rebbe Shirav Rachmanes, and the Rebbe said, go, ki lakach mitzavto, that is your destiny. That's the reason you were created and brought to this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makbed on Rebbe, and he suffered for many years. And when did his pain end? When his wife wanted to destroy the mice and the rats in his house, and Rebbe said, no, v'rachmav al kol ma'asov k'siv. That's an unbelievable Gemara. He suffered when there was a lack of mercy on his side for animals, and he was salvaged from his pain when he proved that he has rachmonis even on rats and other animals that we usually go out of our way to destroy. They're not very friendly or pleasant. But that is definitely above and beyond the realm of halacha. That is in the context of v'svivav nisaro miyoyit, Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktet kim chasidav kechut ha'sara. Therefore, it's a bit strange to me, the tshuva that we find in the Igres Moshe. Choshe mishpot chelik beisim en mem zayin, I think. Moshe was asked, could we kill mosquitoes, flies, mice? And to me, it's a big chiddush. He writes, better to do it al yedei groma and not be a dayim. How do you kill mosquitoes al yedei groma? Well, spray. But when a mosquito is on your hand and you have a split second to either kill or get stung. So the Moshe says, better to do it al yedei groma and not kill them b'yadayim. Big chiddush to me. Because he says, killing, you know, brings a teva of achzarias to a person. Ein adam is milsa la milsa, I think b'mei chazal. You know, of course they killed flies and mosquitoes and they destroyed mice and other mazikim. However, that is the tshuva in Igris Moshe. Well, definitely in great madregas like Rabbeinu HaKadosh, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medakta kechut ha'sara, but it definitely is not a halachic prohibition. So the topic we discussed today is an interesting one. At the beginning of this year, we brought many sources, 13 sources, possible sources, from which Chazal could have learned D'oraisa, and then we dealt with various issues and shilas regarding the halach of Tzah Balachayim D'oraisa, and also various halachas that are nageya b'sman hazeh. In this week's parsha, we learn about Bilam the prophet. He was obviously a very talented and great prophet, to the extent that Chazal say, "B'yisrael kam navi kamoshe, aval ba'omis roelam kam." So, what did he do with this tremendous talent and wisdom and koyach of prophecy? Well, he was a doctor of curse. Chachomim heim alahora. Why don't you learn how to bench? Why do you write a doctorate and how to curse? That's why he was Bilam HaRosh. Instead of benching, that was his specialty. And whoever needed someone to curse his adversaries, foes, enemies, paid a lot of money to Bilam to come and curse. And that is exactly what Balak did. However, Rabbis Machshavis Belevish v'tzas Hashem Yisoka v'kodesh Baruch Hu hofach haskila lesbila mabroch miklala lebroch. So one of the beautiful psukim in this parsha is Truas Melech Bo. What is the kavon of this posuk? Twice in Shas, Baruch HaZayin Amad Aleph, Avad Yisor Adal Adam and Beis, Chazal say, HaKodesh Baruch Hu koyes v'kol yom rege kamemre. It is a split second every day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bekas. And Bilam, being a prophet, knew when that moment is, and he took advantage of that moment to curse. Tosfos asks, what could you say in one moment, in a second? You barely start talking and it's over. So Tosfos said, he said one word, Kalem. Kalem, destroy them. Destroy Klal Yisrael. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took the three letters of Kalim and switched the sequence of these letters, and it became Melech. And that is the posik Truas Melech Bo. Kalim became Melech. And for many years I wondered, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to play around with letters? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could totally totally ignore the Kalana. Kodesh Baruch Hu needs to play around with letters to turn Kalim into Melech. I think this is something extremely profound. What is the tachlis of this world? Why are we here? Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu create this wonderful and magnificent world with all its complexity and beauty? Reb Chaim Vital writes a very simple explanation. Well, this is a question all the great philosophers and all the great Mekubalim dealt with. But Reb Chaim Vital writes, Ein melech b'liyam. What is kingship if there are no servants, if there are no citizens? Kodesh Baruch Hu is the king of the universe, melech malchei hamlochim. But somebody has to be mekabel malchusi, and that is only in this world. But they have no bechira, they have no free choice, free will. So that is not something that could be considered malchus. It is only we, Kodesh Baruch Hu's servants, out of free will, out of love, out of devotion. That is the essence of malchus shemayim. And that is why the sphere of Olam Asiya is the sphere of malchus. Kesa Chochma Bina belonged to Atzilus. Netzach Hoyd Yisoid belonged to Yitzira. Chesed Gevurah Teferes belonged to Bria. Our world, the world in which we live and die, Olam Asiya is the sphere of Malchus, because that is what Malchus is all about. So Bilam says, Kalem. Kadosh Baruch Hu turns around and says, Bilam, I never knew you're such a fool.
How could you make such a ridiculous request? If I destroy Israel, then I destroy the world, and the world will go back to Toyo Vavoyo. Because there's no point in having a world without Klal Yisrael. This world is all about Malchus. If there are no servants, there is no king. And that is what Chazal mean, and Tosfos explains. Kalem, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes Kalem, and he says, Truas Melech Bo. Rashi writes, Truas as in Loshan, Reus V'Ahavo, compassion and love. Truas Melech Bo, B'Klal Yisrael. And therefore, your demand, Kalem, is totally outrageous and ridiculous. It is impossible. It's impossible to destroy Israel, because destroying Israel is the destruction of the world. Truas Melech Bo. Saying Ashrei once occurred to me an astonishing realization. Ashrei is a Perek in Tehillim that is written in accordance to the letters of the Aleph Beis. There are only three psukim in Ashrei that exalt Malchus Shemayim. Kvoid Malchus Chu Yomeru Gveros Chu Yedaberu Lodil Avna Yodim Gvoro Yisro Vechvoid Hadar Malchusoi Malchus Chu Malchus Kol Elohim Omim Shal Tocho Bechol Doer Vedoer. Only three psukim that deal with Malchus Shemayim. Which three? Kalim Kof Lamed Mem Kvoid Malchus Chu Yomeru Lohodia Malchus Chu Malchus Kol Elohim. Those are the Oisiyas of Kalem, because Kalem is Melech. That is what Malchus Shemayim is all about. And that is essentially what Tosfos explains. Kalem is Melech, Truas Melech Bo. And therefore, Klal Yisrael could never perish from the face of earth. That would mean the end of the world. Let us always be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim B'Yahava, and we should be Zoicha B'Korav to see Malchus Chum Malchus Kol Elomim U'Memshal Tuhu B'Chol Dor V'Dor Ki Ayin Ba'Ayin Yiru B'Shuv Hashem Tzion V'Nigra Kvod Hashem V'Ro Kol Bo Siyachtov Ki Pi Hashem Dibeo. We should be Zoicha B'Korav B'Yameinu Tobias Moshiach Tzidkeinu and B'Nia Beis HaMikdosh B'Mheiro V'Yomeinu Amen.